Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 30. And while you are turning there, today we are going to continue in the series that we started last week about the character of God. And 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, the Word of God says that God is love. He that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. The essential nature and character of God is love. One of the plans that the enemy has in the world system to attack the Word of God, the character of God, to attack believers, is to make us so familiar with the notion that God is love that we lose sight of its meaning. That it's no longer precious, but it is a bumper sticker cliche with all the meaning of a bumper sticker. But regardless of the attack that the enemy may have on the character of God, it does not change the character of God. God is still what He has always been. He is love. Now, in 1 Corinthians 13:4, the Word of God says that love, and therefore the essence of God, is patient and kind. He suffers long and He is kind. Now the very nature of patience brings with it endurance. And that brings with it some measure of suffering. How is it that God suffers? Well, He suffers with us. How many parents suffer with their children? They are good parents, they love their children, they invest in their children, they provide for their children, they do the best they can for their children, and yet they suffer with their children. They don't stop loving them, but because they love them, they suffer. And they see them through thick and thin, they see them through difficulty, they see them through rebellion in some cases, and they suffer with them until the child has grown to the place where they are a mature individual. And if they are a believer, where they are a mature believer in Christ. God is like that. He is patient and He is kind. Patience and kindness of God cannot be separated from each other because they are two manifestations of the same thing. One is the mental attitude, and the other is the practical outworking. He is patient and He is kind. Now, if you consider what it means for a moment that God is patient, He is patient with me, so what happens? Perhaps I fail, perhaps I do that which I ought not. Perhaps I am rebellious or reactionary against Him. But He is still patient. That patience is manifested in God's mercy. The fact that God is merciful, that characteristic comes out of God's patience. Because mercy is when we do not receive what we deserve. Now, I don't know about you, but I know very well that I'm a wicked little man. And I know very well that the only thing that I really deserve is hell. And the fact that I will not receive hell is God's patience toward me. It's God's mercy. And by mercy we're saved. We're saved by grace, yes, but we're saved by mercy. We're saved by the love of God. And these are three aspects of one thing. when God approaches me, He approaches me mercifully because He is patient with me. How often do we beat ourselves over the head that we're not perhaps growing well enough or fast enough for our own desire? How often do we say to ourselves, I shouldn't have been that way, or I should have been the other way? I shouldn't be like I am. But God does not say to me that I should not be like I am. God says to me that I am what I am by the grace of God. God says to me that as I am accepted in the Beloved. And as I am accepted as His bride. God is patient. How often do we expect something harsh or negative? Because we do not believe that He is patient. We believe that He is like a man. That He is not a man. And so He is patient. And He is kind. The fact that He gives me anything at all is pure grace. And grace is the manifestation of God's kindness. God's government is built on the foundation and through the root of His kindness. And it's because of that government, and it's because of the root of God's kindness toward me as a believer, that I have what I have, that I can function, that I can receive a call, that I can have a life with God, that I can have a life with meaning. See, God is patient and He is kind. I think of the attributes of God, perhaps this is the thing that escapes believers the most. That God is patient and kind. Now, believers will confess this, that they don't possess it. They don't receive for themselves all too often the fact that God is patient and He is kind. All too often they'll enter into striving or anxiety, nervousness, fear, pressure, because they don't realize that God is patient and He is kind. And they may realize He is patient when they are in the trial and the trial doesn't end in their timing. And then they say, okay, so God is patient and it's killing me. But no, God is patient and kind. Do you know why your trial is killing you, if that is the case? Because you're thinking wrong in the trial. It's not the trial that's killing you. It's your own thinking. It's the fact that your emotions are responding to the wrong thing that's flowing through your mind. But if you fellowship with the promises of God and the character of God in your trial, what are your emotions going to respond to? Your emotions, this is where great peace have they that love thy word. This is where that peace that passes understanding comes from. It's that I have those faith responses to God's promises in the practical details of my life. It's not a theology, it's a reality. And if it is only a theology in my life, then I have shortchanged myself as a believer. It's a reality. It's meant to be experienced, that's why it was given. Why in the world would God give it if He didn't mean for me to experience it? What, to torment me? No. I'm to experience it. Now, in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the Word of God says that in order for His promises and anything that is of God from His Word, in order for it to profit me, it must be mixed with faith. So it boils down to that one thing again. Do you believe God or don't you? We often say we do. But sometimes we say we do believe Him, but only believe Him until the trial of the faith comes. And then we stop believing Him. I'd much rather believe God than not. It's much easier for me. Because if I don't, then I have to find my own way. And how is a lost man going to find his own way? And albeit I may be born again and I cannot lose that, but I can have the same experience as someone who's not, because I stop believing His promises. I stop believing His character. I stop believing the doctrines in the Word of God. I stop appropriating categories of doctrine for the circumstances of my life. And I live like an unbeliever. There is no difference between the two, except one will go to heaven and one will go to hell. But when I appropriate through faith the promises of God, I get to experience all the fullness of the life of Christ. And I realize that patience and kindness is what I receive from God all the time. Why does God allow the trial to come? Because it's more precious than gold, Peter said. It's more precious than gold, which perishes. See, the heavenly gold, silver, and precious stones start to benefit me now and continue through all of eternity. What are gold, silver, and precious stones? Let's review that just for a moment. What are gold, silver, and precious stones? Gold, faith. Silver, Word of God. Precious stones, fruit of the Spirit. What is wood, hay, and stubble? Efforts of man, wood. Emotionalism, hay. Stubble, things of God aborted. That's your wood, hay, and stubble. I would much rather live with precious stones, gold and silver, than with wood, hay, and stubble. The trial of my faith is where I learn the character of God. It's a strange thing. And we wonder to ourselves sometimes, I think, why do I have to have this trial of my faith? Why should it be a trial? Is God like nasty? And some people think He is. Some people think that God is mean or cruel in some way. Why? Because they're misoriented. Usually it's because somehow they're oriented to themselves and their own desires rather than oriented to the plan of God and having Him on the throne of their life. But then they define God as cruel because He didn't give them necessarily what they want when they wanted it. But God is not cruel. God is patient and He is kind, and He brings the trial of our faith because it is more precious than gold. He's giving us that which is precious. Hi, why? How is it more precious than gold? Because in Romans 8:29, Him who He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Folks, we only have a handful of purposes that God has given for our lives. The number one purpose that any believer has is to be conformed to the image of His Son. The number two purpose that we have is to edify the body of Christ. The number three purpose we have is to win the lost. Folks, don't be surprised when things happen that will conform you to the image of His Son. His Son is patient and kind. And so God will do things in my life to cause me to be patient and kind, to cause me to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now in Isaiah 30 and verse 18, the Word of God says, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that He may be gracious unto you. And therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord God is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him." What does it mean that God will be gracious unto you? Well, if you look at this word in the original language, it's talking about God pouring out loving kindness towards the believer. The Lord is waiting that He will be kind to you. Why does the Lord have to wait? Well, there's a number of reasons, but one of the big ones is because I'm not ready. So the Lord waits to create a capacity in me so that I may receive His loving kindness. Now, how many good parents give their children everything they want exactly when they want it? Well, I don't know any good parents that do that. Why? Because what they get out of that is a spoiled brat. But if you want a child with character, you introduce proper measures of challenge in their life. And sometimes it's like, okay, dear, you want something? You wait for Christmas. Or if you want something, you go out and get a job and then you can have it. God is like that with us. He is patient until I grow, that He may be kind to me. And so that kindness will be receivable in me. God is patient and He is kind. And He waits to be gracious unto me. And therefore will He be exalted that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. What does that mean? The Lord is the God of the finished work. What is the judgment of God? The judgment of God is, it is finished. Right? John 19:30. It is finished. That's it right there. Now, I'm a believer who has an old sin nature. I've got news for you. You're a believer who has an old sin nature. And the kindness of God is going to deal with my old sin nature. Why? Because my old sin nature is the greatest source of misery that I have. My old sin nature is the one thing that I possess that continuously can get into my way out of an intimacy and a closeness and a sweetness with my Savior. And so God will deal with my old sin nature. And how does He deal with my old sin nature? By making the cross a practical reality in my life, that apart from the cross, I will be totally miserable, and through the cross, I will have joy that passes understanding, and peace that passes understanding. How does that work? Because it's the life of God. And so God initiates circumstances and details in my life where I will finally let go of my natural way of doing things and simply believe. Simply rest in a faith rest. Simply trust Him. And when I get to that place, then it produces the experience that produces the hope that does not disappoint. How many people are afraid of a life with God? How many people are afraid of a call? Don't be afraid of a call. But what if He calls me into something I don't want? Isn't it up to Him to will and to do all His good pleasure? If there's something in my life that I'm called to that I don't want, then that simply means that either I'm not called to it, or God is going to change my heart to the point where I do desire that. It is up to Him to make me willing and then to do all His good pleasure. I can't change myself. I have no more power to change myself than this chair has power to become a car. But God is patient and He is kind. And so He'll do it on my behalf. Learn the character of God. Before you try any endeavor, learn the character of God. Don't try anything apart learning from the character of God. Why? Because apart from the character of God, all you're going to do is strive. And striving produces nothing of any benefit in my life. Learn the character of God. Where do you think that the fruit of the Spirit comes from? When the character of God is produced in me. And so God initiates things to show me that He is patient with me. He allows things and that He is kind toward me. I don't have to transform myself. God is kind toward me. And He'll be kind toward me right where I am. Learn the character of God. Continuing in Isaiah, "For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem." And Zion is a type of the promise of God. People shall live in the promises of God in Jerusalem. Jerusalem for the church is a picture of the body of Christ, the church. "People shall live in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be gracious unto you at the voice of your cry." In other words, I cry out to God and my cry is met with kindness. Let me ask you something. Do you expect when you come to God, in no matter what state, whether good or bad state, do you expect from Him kindness? Do you expect from Him that in Ephesians 3:20 He'll go above and beyond all you can ask or think? Do you expect that God hears your prayer? Folks, He doesn't just hear your prayer. In Revelation 5:8, in chapter 6:5, He inhales your prayer. It's brought to Him as incense in golden vials. He doesn't just listen, He breathes it in. You know how God answers? Not so much according to your words, but the aroma of the prayer that comes to Him. This is why in 2 Corinthians 2:15, our lives are a savor. To God, they are a sweet savor. Why? Because He inhales our lives. Do you recognize the kindness of a God who would be in such union with a man that He would actually intermingle the man's essence with His own being through breath? Where the man has the breath of life in him through God, God has the man's prayer in His own lungs. God is patient and He is kind. Is that your God? Or do you have a different God? Do you have a God who requires works? Do you have a God who is hard? Do you have a God who comes down with you with a heavy hand? Or do you have a God who is patient and kind? If your God is heavy-handed, it's a different Jesus. God is patient and He is kind. See, when I was dead in sin, Christ died. When I was dead in sin, I was His enemy. He says, I was His enemy. He called me His enemy. But He didn't take on His enemy that I was with a sword to destroy him. He took on His enemy with a sword to love him. And so He sent His word. And He was patient and He is kind. How many of you guys expect God to be patient and kind? If you get it completely wrong, do you expect He'll be angry or kind? See, God is not a man, nor is He the Son of Man. See, a lot of times people think that God doesn't love them. A lot of times they see their own faults. A lot of times people expect God will be angry or harsh towards them because that's how people are. But God is not a man. He won't act like a man. He won't deal with you like a man. He won't be unkind to you like a man. He's patient and kind. He's going to love you with an everlasting love. He's going to be gentle towards you with an everlasting gentleness. He's going to be sweet to you so that He can build your capacity and so that He can draw you unto Himself. How does God draw me? With an everlasting love and with loving kindness. Folks, let's get God as He is, not as He is not. Religion can paint a very difficult picture of Him. But that's not the Bible. That's man's ideas, not God's. God is patient and kind. In Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27, the Word of God says that God is an eternal God and He's a refuge. And underneath are His everlasting arms. If I fall, I fall into everlasting arms. Folks, I fall into hands that have nail prints in them. Why do the hands still have the nail prints in them? Because the nails drew out the blood from His hands. And so if I'm in the hands of God, I'm not only in His protection, but between me and God forever will be the blood of the Lamb. And I'm cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. In Revelation 1:5. He takes away my sin with the blood of the Lamb. So no matter what happens in my life, between me and God is the blood of the Lamb. And that means that God can see me as nothing other than perfected in Christ. That means that God can see me as nothing other than beloved and perfect and pure and clean. Because between me and Him is the blood of the Lamb. When God sees the believer, He sees the blood of Christ. He doesn't see my failure. In Isaiah 1:8, He says, I am as driven snow, although my sins were as scarlet. I am as driven snow. He doesn't remember my sin. He doesn't keep a tally. He's not a bean counter. He removes it as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't see any failure in the believer whatsoever. Do you know what God sees when He sees the believer? He sees His beloved. He sees the one for whom Christ died. He sees the one around whom the entire plan of the ages was formed. He sees the one that is precious in His eyes in Isaiah 43. See, God is patient and kind. Never live in the condemnation of the flesh. But live in the Romans 8:1, no condemnation. Because God is patient and kind. It doesn't matter how far I fall, I'll always fall into the hands of God. He says He will not utterly cast me down. In Psalm 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His ways. Now get this. This is talking about the good man. What does it mean? Divine good, not natural good. There is no thing good in man. Right? Didn't Jesus say when the person addressed Him in His humanity and called Him good teacher, He said, "Why do you call me good? There's nobody good but God." So He's not talking about me and my humanity and my old nature. He's talking about His nature in me. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. Now get this. This is the good man. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. So that means that the man of God will have a season from time to time in his life where he doesn't get it right. Where he fails or falls or backslides. And by the grace of God, it won't be severe, but even if it is severe, he will not be utterly cast down. And then what happens? For the Lord upholds him with His hand. The Lord upholds him with His hand. God is going to be patient and kind to him. And He's going to cup His hands around him. And He's going to make sure that he isn't damaged. He will make sure that he doesn't drop him. He cannot drop him. See, Jesus said in John chapter 10, "No man has plucked them out of my hand." So he cannot drop the believer. How many believers say in their own hearts, "Yes, true for everyone, but for some reason not true for me"? No, it's true for you too. You simply are not thinking correctly in the moment. It's true for you too. God is patient and He is kind. And He waits to be gracious to you. You see, in that time when you're in the trial, God will not be hasty with you. He will not be impatient with you. He'll be kind to you. In the time when you think you've completely blown it, God will be kind. And in the time you think you're an utter train wreck and a complete failure, God will be kind. And when you call to Him, God will be kind. And He will not get impatient with you, not for a nanosecond. But He will be patient and kind towards you, because that is the character of who He is. Amen?